so it mirrors a kind of outsider versus insider perspective. Now, I'm not suggesting these comments as a frame for further discussion, but just as different currents that I hear in the air.
The myth that Iliade and others speak about in the in religious development, in the development of the spirituality in human beings. What I have here on the board is the first section of Rumi's poem, his Masnavi, where he begins to talk about the human separation and the human longing to be united. Let's read together. Listen to the reed, how it tells a tale complaining of separations. Bish knows a nay, chun hikayat kunat, as judai ha shikayat kunat. That's how it starts. The whole point is that the reed is playing the tune of separation. Therefore, you cry with the reed. But what is this separation about? That ever since I was parted from the reed bed, that is my origins in God, my origins with divine, the emphasis is derived from the Quranic verse, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. From God we originate and to God we return. It is in the Quranic verse. So that's what it's capturing here. I was parted from the reed bed. My lament has caused men and women to mourn. I want a bosom torn by severance, that I may unfold the pain of love desire. Everyone who is left far from her source wishes back the time when she was united with it. So there is a human dimension, which is a universal one, that we do want to recognize. Not only we want to find out who are we, but we also want to be united to where we came from. We want to return to that. And that's why we are going to talk about the myth of microcosmic return to the macrocosm. And we'll see how it works out in the development of the saint in Islamic mystical tradition. Unfortunately, the light is such that you can't see, you can't capture the longing of the journey. A journey in the wilderness all by herself is an experience through which all humans have to go in order to search for inner peace. So we use the metaphor of journey. Therefore the Sufis use the metaphor of suluk, S-U-L-U-K. Suluk is movement. Is going somewhere. And that's a journey that we all are faced with. And the journey is lonely because it is individualistic. It is the individual search which is looking for God, which is looking for that inner peace. Where could it come from? How could it come at that point? It has. Suluk could be vertical. It could also be horizontal. Sought out by human beings as a way of connecting to one's own spiritual roots. This is a human search. And this, and in Islamic mysticism, they use two metaphors for it. One is An-Nur, Al-Nur, Al-Nur, A-L-N-U-R, the light. And the other metaphor is of Al-Haq, A-L-H-A-Q. Two words are used, two metaphors are used to explain the journey. Because human search is for love and for experiencing the divine in one's life, because that's where the perfection lies. Let's remember the general definition that the saint is the one who is the closest to that experience, who is closest to the divine. So we want to keep that definition in mind as we go. You can see the face of a woman here. She is in Hajj, actually. She's in pilgrimage. And this, the search even there, at that, you see variety of people in Hajj. There are those who are ritual bound and those who are seeking something more inwardly connecting. This is what we call the internalization of the outward religious experience. Muslims talk about the zahir and the batin, exoteric and esoteric. Exoteric is open to everyone, therefore orthodox, orthopraxy is connected with exoteric. So there is, we don't speak about orthodoxy in Islam, by the way, because doxy is not central. Praxy is central. What you do, that's why it's very interesting. Your membership in the community is not the pronouncement of the faith. You don't have to do that. The moment you join the ritual of the prayer, you are a member of the community. So there's no doxy, but there's praxy. Now that praxy is exoteric. Then you have an inner dimension, the search for inner dimension. And this is why you find Sana'i, major poets in the classical age, are talking about something different than simply performing of the ritual. That means there's a search for the deeper understanding of human perfection. Let's also keep in mind that the Quran sees love of God being available only through the following of the Prophet. So following of the Prophet, following of Muhammad becomes the criterion for talking about divine love. That I love God. Well, how do you love God? I follow the Prophet. Here you have another dimension being added to it. There's one verse in the Quran that is extremely powerful, mystically speaking, and has been open for all kinds of interpretations. That verse in the Quran is extremely important. It speaks about the light. You can see Allah nuru samawati wal ard mathalu nurihi kamishkatin fiha misbah. That's what the ayah is speaking about. God is the light of the heavens and the earth. The likeness of his light is a niche, is as a niche wherein is a lamp. The lamp in a glass, the glass as it were a glittering star, kindled by a blessed tree. This is the olive tree, by the way. The blessed tree is shajaratun zaitun. So that's the blessed tree. Kindled by a blessed tree, an olive that is neither of the east nor of the west, whose oil well nigh would shine even if no fire touched it. Light upon light. Nurun ala nur. God guides to his light whom he will. This has become the source of what I call meditation in Islam. Because the verse is open to all kinds of mystical interpretations. This is in the entire Quran, by the way. If you study the Quran in entirety, this is the one that strikes you most esoteric in its dimensions. Because it is dealing with something that otherwise the Quran has legal dimensions, liturgy, all these things. But this one is a particularly interesting verse for the Muslim mystics. I am also capturing one of the pilgrims here engaged in the recitation of the Quran. Recitation of the Quran has been at the heart of the mystical perfection. Recitation of the text itself is regarded as enlightening. But we want to understand the nature of mystical experience. I've been talking in ambiguous terms, mystical, mysticism. Yes, it is indeed a mystery. But what kind of mystical experience are we talking about when we speak about Islamic mysticism? Anne-Marie Schimmel, in her book, The Mystical Dimensions of Islam, is correct when she says that Islamic mysticism is the mysticism